whole. Amen. I hear you preaching for us. You pray for Brother Randall. I like that purple tie, man. Praise the Lord. I like purple. That's royalty. Purple is royalty. You study all that out. Amen. Anyway, you pray for Brother Randall as he comes and preaches. Amen. Bless you, brother.
Thank you. Let us turn to Haggai chapter 1. Haggai chapter 1, verse 2. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people saying, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in our siled house, and this house lie wasted? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much, and bringeth little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag of holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, and bring wood, and build the house of the Lord. And I will take pleasure in it. I will be glorified, saith the Lord. This is the message I entitled it, Excuses Not to Serve the Lord. Holy, righteous, heavenly Father, I come before you, Lord. I just ask you, Lord, please forgive me of my sins, of my trespasses, Lord. Lord, I want to be right with you when I preach this word, Lord. I don't want nothing interfering between me and you, Lord, because I want people to see you, not me. I don't want them hearing me. I want them to hear you, Lord. I want them to hear the Holy Ghost. I want the Holy Ghost to move amongst us, Lord. And I thank you for the messages before from my brethren, Lord, that preached before me, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, and may you give them blessings, Lord. And I also ask you, Lord, may you help me now. Fill me, Lord, again with the Holy Ghost. May my cup overfilleth, Lord, and strengthen me, Lord. Encourage me. And I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
I looked at the word excuses. It means that which externates or justifies fault. To basically to make excuses for one or for something they are doing. I want you to look at verse 2. It says, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say that the time, which the word time means season, is not come the time that the Lord's house should be built. Here the Lord hears the excuses that's being brought around why my house has not been built.
Yes, sir.
So now he comes forth, going forth, and going to Haggai, and basically saying, what's the deal, people? Why isn't my house not being built?
Yeah.
What's going on? Why are you not doing what I've commanded you to do? You went on and built most of Jerusalem. It's finished, but here, where's my house?
Yeah.
I asked you to do a simple thing, and you're making excuses why. You're saying the time, the season, is not ready yet.
Yeah.
When is it going to be ready, basically?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I can fill in for the people there, because I'll be honest here, it's been a year last time I preached. I made excuses. I put things before God. And unfortunately, when I do that, my faith wavers, and I start backsliding, and I start putting everything else before God.
Yes.
I keep putting my family, television, like you were saying, you're doing the fasting of the, not YouTube, but NBA and everything else. And it's like, sometimes we got to put stuff aside and say, Lord, you're first.
Amen.
And I got to do what you called me to do.
Yeah.
And then the truth is, when I wasn't doing the Lord's will, I was getting depressed.
Yes.
I had no peace.
Yep.
I was getting angry at everything and everyone.
Yeah.
And I just, you can ask my wife, we'd be fine half the time. Or she'd be basically I'm supposed to be the leader. She ended up being the leader. All right, I'm going to church. With or without you. And there's times I said, go, I don't care. Or I just made excuses, go. But here we see here, flat out, Lord confronted me by taking my peace away. And here we see, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your, I'm not sure how I'm even pronouncing it, sealed houses, and this house is a waste." First, I want you to look at sealed. Sealed means paneled, covered, or seated. I want you to think about that, what it was talking about paneled. I want you to look with me over to, see if I wrote it. 1 Kings chapter 7. First Kings chapter 7, verse 3, it says, "And it was covered with cedar above upon the beams that lay on 45 pillars, 15 in a row." Then I want you to skip down to verse 7. It says, "Then he made a porch for the throne where the mighty judge, even the porch of judgment, and it was covered with cedar from one side of the floor and the other." Then I want you to also turn with me to verse 7, no, I already said verse, Jeremiah, verse 22. Here's a point I'm trying to get to. Chapter 22, verse 14, it says, "That saith, I will build me a wide house and a large chambers, and cutteth him out windows, and it is sealed with cedar and painted with vermilion." Let's turn back here. My whole point is about the seated. These people were making basically king's houses for themselves and refusing and ignoring their king.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Good. Here we're seeing flat out people says, "Who cares about the Lord? It's about our season. It's about our time. It's about me and myself and I. He can wait. He can go on a back burner. But it's going to be about me. It's going to be about my family. It's going to be about what I want." And here, this is what we're seeing with the children of Israel right now. We're seeing them flat out ignore the Lord.
Yes.
Making it into mansions. And if you, like I said, this seated also means seated. They had a place to be welcome, to be seated, to have guests, to be seated. God wasn't even welcome in his own house.
Yep.
He didn't have a seat to go to. And it's amazing how I can honestly compare myself to the children of Israel. It's like, was he welcome in my house? And my body is supposed to be a temple of the Holy Ghost. Was I doing anything that he wanted me to do to glorify him?
Yeah.
What was I looking at? What was I watching? What was I doing? Mm-hmm. I might not have been looking at pornography. I might not have been doing a bunch of evil stuff, but was I putting him first? Was I glorifying him?
Right.
And anything I was doing,
yeah.
I was not putting him first. I was putting me and myself and I. I was put in school before the Lord. And it's like, when the Lord finally got a hold of me, I don't know if it's through your guys' prayer or what, I just know one thing. It finally dawned on me, like the prodigal son, just realizing, what am I doing?
Yes.
Why, look where I'm heading. I swore I never would go down this road again, but yet what was I doing? I was going right down back to the same road because I forgot where I came from. I came from the Lord. And on top of it, I don't want to go back how I was, but yet I'm slowly doing the same thing again. Mm-hmm. Going back because I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't focused on him. I took my eyes off of him. And that's the problem.
Yes.
We have to stay focused. We have to read our word, my
Amen.
Word.
Amen. Yeah.
That's the thing. When we don't pray, like you said, half of it's reading and praying. It's just how we communicate with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we hear from him.
Amen.
I just want to add a thing. Third, it's through the Holy Ghost. Because there's been times I do miss that. I was praying just a couple of days ago, "Lord, I miss hearing the Holy Ghost just whisper to me."
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When I'm depressed, down, and when I start reading that word, I can hear that his words entering my heart, and I can hear the Holy Ghost just saying, "I'm here. I love you. Keep going.
Yeah.
I am your strength. Just keep going. Remember, I am your shield." keep going. And here we see the children of Israel not doing that. And here the and if you hear see here, it says, it is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie wasted. The word wasted means ruin, desolate, and dry waste. It is literally wasted. I remember I can't remember right now. Or I have to. I'm paraphrasing right now, but Jesus said, "Why should I come to these dry tombs? These people who are dry, dead inside." That's where I was becoming dead inside, because I'm not allowing Christ, Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost, God the Father, to mold me and fashion me, to lead me where he wanted me to go. I'm slowly becoming dry inside, becoming like dead men bones. Yeah. I wasn't focused on what the Lord wanted. And this is supposed to be the body of the Holy Temple. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't letting the Holy Ghost do his, I was grieving the Holy Ghost. I was not letting him do what he should be doing.
Yes.
He's supposed to be the driver of my life.
Amen.
Not supposed to be my wife, not supposed to be my son, not supposed to be YouTube or Facebook or TV or football or whatever else there is. Because I know the big game's tomorrow, but I don't care. Because another team's in there, I like them. So, but we need to stay focused, because when we don't stay focused, we start seeing the consequences of it.
Amen.
Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bringeth in little. Ye eat, but ye have not nothing. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is no warmth. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. So everything you're doing when you're not serving the Lord, he's going to yank away. No matter how much money, it's going to disappear. It's going to vanish like water. Whatever you put on your bag, never going to be enough. It's never going to satisfy you. God's going to make it sure, hey, it's me first. Then I'll take care of you. I have to come first. But yet, children of Israel, and I can say for myself, I was not doing that. I was focused on other things.
Yes.
Sorry, Lord. You got to wait. You got to go on the back burner.
Yeah.
Like they said, it's not the season. It's not the time. And unfortunately, I see it all around. Unfortunately, I've seen it with other places where other people are doing the same thing, who's in the same seat that I was in and doing the exact same thing. And I'm just telling you right now, do not go down this road.
Amen.
Because it's going to destroy you. It's going to destroy your family. It's going to destroy your marriage.
Amen.
You need to stay focused on the Lord. Because the only way you're going to be a good man is through Christ.
Yes.
Christ is going to lead you, and then everything else will fall into place. I'm not going to say things are going to be easy. It's going to be hard. I found out being a Christian, it's going to be harder than it was being in the world. Because you got more enemies now. You got the world you have to face against. You have to worry about Satan. You have to worry about yourself. You have to worry about the flesh. You have to worry about everything. But the good news is, he's there for you.
Amen. Yeah.
He gives you strength when you're weak, like Daniel. There's times you want to give it up. You want to just throw in the towel and say, I can't do this no more. How many times have you felt like that, Pastor? You went through depression. I'm sure you went through depression. I'm sure being a pastor, because I've read statistics on pastors, how people are just giving up and said, I'm done.
Yeah.
But the Lord says, no, I didn't say give up.
Right.
Keep going.
Amen.
Focus. If you're weak, then fall on your knees, and I'll give you strength to get back up.
Yes, ma'am.
You got to come to me. You got to humble yourself, and that's the other problem, pride.
Mm,
yep. It's not just slothfulness. It's pride.
Yeah.
We got to stay focused. Don't let our think, hey, I can do this myself. Every time I think that, I get myself in trouble. Every time I don't read instructions how to build a bed to hook a DVD player up, I mess it up. You can ask my wife. I made a bookcase for her, and I put it in backwards because I didn't read the instructions. Unfortunately, my pride flares up when she does help me. When we do read instructions, I'm telling her, be quiet, go on, I can do this. I can read by myself. Sometimes I need help. That's where the Holy Ghost comes in. When you're reading the Bible, he helps you to,
Amen.
Okay, this is what it means. But we got to be patient sometimes.
Yes, sir.
And unfortunately, I'm very impatient. But we got to go strong. We got to stay focused with the Lord.
Amen.
And then now, therefore, say, I'm stick with verse 6. And we see here, flat out, the whipping, flat-out whipping that God's doing to the children of Israel, like I said, in verse 6. And verse 7 says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. Build the house, and I will take pleasure in it. I will be glorified, saith the Lord." All he wants is to be glorified. He wants him to. He wants himself to become first with us. Glorify me, he's just asking. Just do a simple thing. Let the world mock you. I'm in school right now where God is not welcome. I agree with Ken Ham what he said on a post on Facebook. He said, college, from kindergarten to all the way to college, it is religion of atheism.
Yep.
They deny God every chance they get. They put everything man first, man first, man first. Who, God does not count. You're a bigot, you're a racist, you're everything underneath the sun. And you're supposed to be, and you're closed. They'll tell you too, you're closed-minded. You need to accept other people's ideas. But yet when I come up with my ideas, I am not allowed to say it. But I'm the closed-minded one. Do you not see how hypocritical that is? I'm asking you, people. It is a wicked world out there. But we're here for a reason, to proclaim the word of the Lord to everyone. Not just people who are saved, but also those lost. That's who Jesus was looking for. He wasn't looking for the people who are well. He was looking for the weak, the sick, the wounded. But are we? Are we doing what God's? Are we doing about God's business, or are we making excuses about everything we have to do?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm tired. I can't do it today. Sorry, I got a headache. Sorry, I got to pick up my kids. Right. Sorry. 10 minutes. How? I mean, really, this witness to somebody only takes literally probably tops 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Your kid can wait 5 minutes for you.
Yeah.
Television can wait for you.
Yeah.
Super Bowl can wait for you.
Yeah.
But God doesn't wait. He wants it his way. You got to stay focused because you're saving a life.
Amen.
And I just want... I didn't even get close to half my points. But that's okay. But this is what Jesus asked from us. Let's turn us to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. If we just trust in him, follow him, this is what he'll do for us. If I can find it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Right there. All we have to do is to seek God first. Do what he's commanded us to do. It means reading our word, praying, helping our brothers and sisters in Christ out, helping the poor, helping like Travis Sharp does, helping the poor. Doing what we're expected to do, what Lord has commanded us, to love one another. He's commanded us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Do we? Or do we mock them every chance they turn their back and saying how stupid they are? Unfortunately, I have that bad, I like to backbite sometimes, especially with my neighbors. You can ask my wife. But we have to stay focused. We have to love one another. We have to love our neighbors. We have to be strong in every aspect that Lord has commanded us to do, but seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Think about that. We might not get it here, but we'll get it in heaven. There's a trophy waiting for us. Uncle Leonard was teaching that how we have to run the race. We have to obtain, try to win that trophy. Well, how else are we going to do it if we're too busy sitting on the sideline thinking about ourselves, trying to get trophies here instead of not worrying about getting trophies up there?
Yeah.
We're useless if we're, like you said, being benched. We're useless. God doesn't want us being useless. He wants us in the game. We are his starters. We're not the second stringers. We're not the third stringers. We're the number one. Uno, I can't pronounce it. But we're number one. We need to go first as God commanded us because we're the starters. Let Christ lead us, because he's the coach. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's talking about. He's already seen what's going to happen in the future.
Yeah.
But are we trusting him? And you said, well, I'm worried about what's going to happen in the future. Well, let's go to Psalms, verse 37, verse 25. Psalms, chapter 37. Verse verse 25. I have been young and I now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. God's promised that he's going to take care of us. What's there to worry about? Don't let fear take over. Don't let your pride take over. Don't let excuses take over. Don't let your lack of faith take over. If you have a lack of faith, come to Jesus. He says he'll help us no matter what. So, Lord, I'm doubting. You've got to read your word, you've got to pray, and you've got to come to him. He wants you to come to him. This is the whole purpose of this. This is why I think I preached this message, because the Lord was showing me this. You need to come. Quit trying to do it on your own. Stop putting everything else first. Stop making excuses. Man up and do what I expect you to do. Because you're going to be rewarded. Your family ain't going to be without clothes. They're going to have food in their belly, no matter what happens. I could lose my house, my car, a tornado could hit us, whatever, financially, whatever. God says, I'm still going to be there for you. Jesus didn't have nothing over his head. He had no place to lay his head at all. He had nothing. But yet he said, hey, I'm about my Father's business. And that's what the amazing part is about Jesus, about God. He just loves us so much that he wants us to keep seeking him and doing his will in everything. And this is what I have a question. What excuses are we putting before the Lord? What excuses are we putting before the Lord? And are we trusting in his word? Are we trusting in his promises? There are so many promises. I remember the book you gave me from Mass class that has everything about promises. Funny part is, I never opened it. I took it, and because I wasn't researching it like I should have been, I put myself in trouble, and Satan knew that I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do, like reading and praying, keeping my strength up. He was able to knock me down. Well, if you don't have the sword ready, how can you fight him? You can have the shield of faith all you want, but if you don't have the sword, your only offensive weapon, you're going to constantly be bombarded. And sooner or later, you're going to get tired and you're going to get weary and you're going to let go of the shield and he's going to nail you. But I do have an excuse. I do think a shield can be a weapon too, but that's because I'm a Captain America fan too. But that's a different story. But I just ask you, what is hindering you from serving him? Are we putting him first? I just ask you these questions. Dear righteous Heavenly Father, we come before